Blog Talk Radio.
The conservative monster has been unleashed. It's Steve Cooper, the conservative monster.
We the people are not buying your propaganda or your newspapers any longer.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the crying in the streets. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
We the people will not allow you to poison the mind of the next generation with your Marxist views.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
We the people are sick of you trying to cause more racial divisions instead of trying to unite the races.
Want the answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Well, you can have the truth. It's your host, Steve Cooper, the conservative monster.
So what did you have to do to be a natural born citizen? You had to be the child of two U.S. citizens, and you had to be born within the borders of the United States of America. It's that simple. Barack Obama cannot be a natural born citizen because one of his parents was not a United States citizen. His father, Barack Hussein Obama Sr., was a subject of the crown. He was a British citizen. And because of that, when Barack Obama was born, he too was a citizen of the crown, a citizen of the very same nation that the founders of our country had just finished a war with when they wrote the Constitution of the United States. He is a subject of the very nation that they feared the most would try and overthrow our government. Barack Obama is not a natural born citizen, and he can never become one. It does not matter whether he was born in Hawaii or Kenya. He is not a natural-born citizen, period. Now, if we go through this Act of 1795, we can see, too, how strict the laws were at the time. Even to become a naturalized citizen, you had to agree that you were going to support the Constitution of the United States, and that you had to absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, and that you had to renounce them by name, and if you bore any hereditary title or belonged to any orders of any foreign nobility or kingdom or state, you had to renounce those titles as well, just to become a naturalized citizen of the United States. Children who were being born to fathers who had never resided within the United States were barred from becoming United States citizens, even though they were actually born on U.S. soil, because their fathers were not United States citizens. And this would be the exact same situation that we find Barack Obama in. Even though his father was residing in this country, his father was the subject of the crown. And because of that, Barack Obama became a subject of the crown the moment of his birth. If he were born in 1795 or later, according to this law, even if he was born in Hawaii, he would never be considered a United States citizen by virtue of his father's citizenship. Now,
Steve Cooper, the conservativemonster.com radio show, live from Miami tonight. The WorldNet Daily and Joseph Farah are having a conference here, and it's called Taking Back America 2010. And I'm pretty excited. You know, it's a lot of work to come here from New York. And, you know, plus I don't fit in here. I'm in a golf resort. I stand out like a sore thumb over here. And but tonight we have a great show. Okay, Commander Kirchner and Mario Puzo, they are the leaders now, as far as I'm concerned, you know, in the Obama eligibility movement as far as in the courts. Of course, we have to mention Lieutenant Colonel Lakin also. That's a very, you know, a very serious matter there, because his really, you know, he could be thrown in jail, I believe, for up to 4 years. But I have Commander Kirshner, Mario Puzo on the line here. Let me get them on here. Gentlemen, are you there?
Hello, Steve.
Commander
How Kirchner. Are you?
Commander Kirchner's here.
How are you? Hey, guys. Listen, you know, I'll tell you, I hear you both do the radio, many radio shows, and let me tell you, you're both very impressive. And even people that, whether they believe it or not in this issue, you know, they have to admit that you both are really on top of it. And let me give out your websites first here. Okay, because, you know, people need to contribute to this cause. It's not cheap, I'm sure. Okay, Commander Kirshner, your website is protectourliberty.org, and people can donate for fundraising for the lawsuits over there. Mario's website, I've been to many times also. I've been to both of your websites. And Mario's is Puzo, P-U-Z-O, number one, .blogspot.com, and you know, Mario puts the latest information on you know, what's going on with the lawsuits, and you know, just information to inform people about natural born citizenship. So you know what, first I'll start with Mario. That clip that I played of natural born citizen that I just played right before you guys came on, how accurate was that?
It's very accurate, very accurate. Again, the whole clip is based on the original definition that the founders and the framers used, based on natural law and then put into the Law of Nations, codified by Vattel, a lot of scholars back then, definition of natural-born citizen. It has two parts to it. That's what everybody has to understand, two parts. Born in the country, and born to citizen mother and father. That's two parts. Now, when I say in the country, it also is the equivalent of in the country. Okay? So, you know, you could have some exceptions to that. If you could make a case that it's the equivalent, for example, if you're, you could be born overseas, and your parents were serving in the armies of the state. Okay? This is like the McCain situation. Under natural
right.
law, that's considered born in the country. Vattel says deemed to be born in the country. But that's an exception, okay? But, again, let's keep it easy. You know, the normal situation is you're born in the country to citizen parents, and Obama has not yet conclusively proven that he was born here. So just on that alone, because he can't have citizenship any other way. Even if he had it any other way, it would not be natural-born citizenship. It would be by a statute, which would make him naturalized. Okay, and of course we know that his father was never a U.S. citizen. He was not even a legal resident here, not even an immigrant. So he fails on that alone, on the citizenship of the parents' connection. He fails. That's not even in dispute. You know, people talk about a conspiracy. I mean, there's no conspiracy. It's just a definition. He doesn't meet that, and we still don't know whether he was born in Hawaii. So the you know that presentation is very accurate.
Okay, so Mario, I have another question for you. Then I'm going to get Charles to jump in because I have something for him. But, you know, okay, now, real quick, has this ever been heard in the Supreme Court, the definition of a natural-born citizen to become president? And would Vattel's Law of Nations be admissible in court? What's your answers to that?
Well, it's clearly admissible. I mean, if you look at the Constitution in Article 5, I believe, it talks about the Law of Nations. Now, the Law of Nations, it's not the book, the Law of Nations, that it's a treatise that was written by Vattel, but the body of law called the Law of Nations. That you don't see the English common law written in the Constitution, but you do see the Law of Nations in there. So clearly, it's admissible. That's called the offense clause. In other words, Congress can define and punish offenses against the Law of Nations. So that tells you the framers and the founders recognized the Law of Nations right in the Constitution. But then we have tremendous amounts of literature, historical records. We have a ton has been dug up. And clearly, the founders, they relied on the Law of Nations. They relied on Vattel. Vattel was a tremendous influence on the founding of our republic, writing the Constitution. It's unfortunate that he's lost his place in history over the years. But because of the Obama eligibility issue, he's been rediscovered. So that
right.
You know, our roots are being rediscovered. So clearly, you know, it's there. Now, as the Supreme Court.
One more thing, Mario, it was actually cited
in the Venus case, too, Mario, I think by name. Vattel was cited by name in the Venus case in 1814.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of U.S. Supreme Court cases that deal with this concept of a natural born citizen and natural law in Vattel. Again, you know, as early as there was a case down, I can't think of it right now, but anyway, it talked about the Law of Nations becoming part of our common law, in that it was going to be applied in the United States. Okay, that's even before the Constitution was written. But what happens is Venus case, which is a case about prize ships, Justice Marshall references Vattel and actually quotes him directly, although he doesn't say natural-born citizen. He uses the old language, native or indigenous.
Right.
But then there's so many cases. There's the Dred Scott case. There's the Minor case. There's the Wan Kim Ark. There's a lot of U.S. Supreme Court cases where he's recognized and that definition is given. And never did the Supreme Court define a natural-born citizen as other than born in the country of citizen parents. There's confusion that goes on when it comes to just plain citizenship. Okay. Now, even if you look at Article 2, that's the article where, you know, we find the requirements to be president. It talks about a natural-born citizen and it talks about a citizen. Very important, because our nation, when it was founded, the founders had to determine who the citizens were, okay? And that's why we have citizens to start the nation. And they were given an exemption, okay? Okay, if you were here in the beginning, you were a citizen, you could be president, okay? But then afterwards, through a natural progression, you're going to have children, you know, posterity. You got to be born of those citizens. Okay, those were the natural-born citizens.
You want a foreign, right, somebody with foreign allegiance in the office, like somebody maybe with foreign allegiance from, like, Kenya or Indonesia.
Clearly, yeah, you could not have any kind of foreign allegiance, because if you're born here, okay, if you're born in the country, and if your parents are citizens. Now, citizens, you could be either a natural-born citizen or you could be a naturalized citizen. That's your parents,
right.
Okay? So if you have that, then you can't have any other allegiances. You're completely committed. You have unity of citizenship and allegiance to the United States. That's it. That's a natural-born citizen. And they wanted that for the president, because that's such a sensitive spot, such a sensitive position. You have tremendous power. It's an all-powerful, singular office. You know, it's not a Congress. It's not a collegial body. It's one person. So that's why they wanted to make sure about that. By the way, that case was Rutgers versus Waddington, 1784, where, you know, already we're getting the founders arguing for the Law of Nations. That's part of American law. That's very important, because in Article 3, we talk about the laws of the United States. Okay, and the laws of the United States did not include the English common law, but it did include the Law of Nations. Anyway. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I wanted to go to Charles right now to let him get some input here. But, you know, first, before I do that, I wanted to tell you that I spoke to your friend Billy before, and he says hello, and that he will be calling you soon. I'm sure you know who he is.
Oh, yes,
Billy?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
What was the name again, please?
Charles, I'm sorry, what?
What was the name?
Oh, no, that was for Mario. That was for Mario.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was for Mario.
Yeah, that was Charles, listen to this. Now, I heard you, I believe... it was on one of the talk shows. I forget the guy's name. It was the guy that actually got into that heat with John McCain because he made fun of Barack Hussein Obama. What was that talk show you were on? He's a popular guy.
The Bill Cunningham show.
Bill Cunningham, that was an excellent appearance that you did. I listened to it about maybe a few weeks ago, again, on YouTube. I listened to it once before. But
that is the one
really,
on the on the newspaper announcements, how I explained how that happened,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. That was excellent. Very good job. But I want to ask you now, again, John McCain. Now, I keep pushing this on my website, The Conservative Monster, because I want people to know John McCain, there's something a little fishy with the Senate hearing he had, and then he didn't request one for Obama, and I want you to give us your input on that. It's good to, people need to hear this. Go ahead.
Well, I think there was a Faustian pact with the devil made between the two major political parties in 2008, since both presidential candidates had questions as to their natural-born citizen status. McCain, because
right.
he was born in Panama, and Obama because, well, we don't know for sure conclusively where he was born, and, of course, his father was not a citizen, not even an immigrant to this country. So I think that for the first time in history, this problem was before the two political parties, and our country is run by the political parties now. George Washington warned us about that. The party power is more important than the constitution of these people. And they solved this problem by attacking McCain in the press and letting him know that he was going to be challenged on his natural-born citizenship. Jonathan Turley, the eminent professor of the far left, went after him, New York Times. And I think this was all a tactic and a strategy to get in the primary to get McCain on defensive such that he would then have to get this cleared up, and the Senate was controlled by the Democrats, so he comes to them, or they say to him, we'll make this all go away and give you a Senate resolution to clarify that you are a natural-born citizen. We'll just say you are by resolution, because all attempts to amend the Constitution had failed in the last, about five times in the last 10 years. But they wanted a deal out of him, and the deal out of him is you keep your mouth shut about Obama. And that's what happened, in my opinion. They made a deal. You will make the charges against you disappear, and the Democratic attack machine won't go after you anymore. We'll give you the Senate resolution. You keep quiet about Obama's citizenship flaws. And that's what happened. With McCain, you couldn't even say Obama's middle name. I mean, he McCain would go ballistic, and it was like a velvet glove
yeah.
treatment of Obama. So the RNC attack machine, which would normally be they would consider a problem like that for Obama as blood sport, but because McCain was in a compromised position, because all he had to declare himself a natural-born citizen was a Senate resolution, he was vulnerable, and there was a Faustian pact with the devil made, and the devil won.
It's
and that's
true.
What I believe
yeah.
happened. And for the first time in our history, two presidential candidates were run from both major political parties with questionable natural-born citizen status. Now, Mario mentioned the Vattel exception to natural-born citizenship, but McCain didn't argue that. He didn't bring up Vattel, because the exception that Vattel would have granted him in the service of the military was currently against U.S. Statutory law. The State Department says that if you're born in a military base overseas, that is not considered U.S. So they would have had a debate over the Vattel exception, and McCain would have lost the primary because of all that. So he chose the route of the Senate resolution that just quietly squashed this all. And the other reason they didn't use Vattel for save McCain is because if they'd have brought up Vattel's writings to save McCain, it would have killed Obama. Section 212 of Vattel clearly says a natural-born citizen is a person born in the country of two citizen parents, or citizen parents. So if they would have used the exception to that clause to save McCain, it would have killed Obama. So the Democrats were never going to agree to that. And they control the Senate, see? So do you see how this chess game played out, Steve? And McCain
yeah.
chose the resolution rather than open debate to the American people to argue the Vattel exception, because it would have killed Obama, and the Democrats would have never gone along with it. Now, the other point is McCain also allowed the Senate resolution to lie for him and say he was born in a military base, in the Panama Canal Zone when he was not. He was born on Panamanian soil in a civilian hospital. So for that's another reason I no longer respect McCain. I thought he was a war hero all along, and I respected him. But after the 2008 election, I wrote him a letter myself and told him, I no longer respect you. And then after the election, I said, if you don't speak up now, you know, I consider him almost to the point of committing treason against the Constitution because of what he did.
Right. Yeah, I do too. Well, believe me, I can't stand him. I can't stand him.
I've written my open letters to him.
Hold on, Charles. Let me give out the number in case anyone wants to call in. All right, listen, people, if you want to call in, 347-205-9780. If you have any questions for Charles and Mario, 347-205-9780. Press number 1, and you're getting the queue. So, but, yeah, you know what, guys? It's really important that we let people know about the definitions of a natural-born citizen because the left on the Internet, they know the Internet is the front lines for this since Fox News has blacked it out. And, you know, they're putting so much disinformation and lies. And, I mean, look what they're doing to Newt Gingrich. I mean, he just mentioned Kenya and Obama in the same sentence. And they're already going crazy because, you know, they want to attack anybody that brings this up because that's how scared they are of this issue.
Well, that's their strategy. That's their strategy to ridicule. They want to make sure that if anybody tries to make a serious issue out of it, anybody that's in any position of power, you know, like any kind of, anybody that's in government or anything, they won't wait like 30 seconds. They'll come right out and they'll ridicule that person to try to make that person go away because they don't want anybody else to join in. So that's
right.
Their strategy. And then what they'll do is they'll go out and say, oh, if this was a real issue, somebody would really say something. How come there's no court, no congressman, no senator, no district attorney, no attorney general? They'll say, you know, this election is over. This is a big hoax, they'll say, you know. But the minute somebody tries to come out and does something, they'll attack right away to stop anybody else from joining.
Now, Steve, when the RNC and DNC
yeah.
both made that pact to keep quiet about the citizenship flaws of both national party presidential candidates, their powerful supporters on both parties in the press also went along with it. So
right,
a cone of silence descended on this country. The citizenship, the eligibility clause of the Constitution was verboten. You do not talk about it.
Well, I'm going to get, first of all, I know you guys are going in front of the Supreme Court with this. And, you know, I understand if you want to mention it. You wouldn't have to get too feisty with it. But I'm sure you both saw the video of Clarence Thomas saying he's avoiding this issue, or that they're avoiding this issue. Now,
yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Avoiding the issue. First of all, you got to have the right case brought there. Now, there have been some cases brought to the U.S. Supreme Court, but they were cases that involved candidates. In other words, you know, trying to stop the election. And in my opinion, you can't do that. The Constitution is written in the sense that anybody can run for office. You don't have to be even an American citizen, okay? But the catch is that you can't be inaugurated if you're not a natural-born citizen. And I'm talking about the president
right.
now, okay?
Yes,
that's where
yes.
the catch is. That's where the catch is. That's why in the 25th Amendment, Congress has an obligation to confirm.
Well, 20th Amendment.
20th. The 20th Amendment, Congress has an obligation to confirm. And it'll say there, should the president-elect not qualify, it tells you right here, then the vice president shall be the president. So what is it telling you? That you can actually have a president-elect that's elected, popular vote, then you have the Electoral College, and now Congress has to make sure that person qualifies. If that person doesn't qualify, Congress does not have the constitutional power to confirm a person who's not a natural-born citizen. They just don't have it because the Constitution says that he's got to be a natural-born citizen. Okay, so these cases that went to the Supreme Court, they were, you know, the early cases. We don't know why they turned them down. They were only applications for stays of the election. I don't even think there was one that had a writ of certiorari. which is going to be our case. We're actually presenting.
I think Mr. Berg's case did, but he skipped the Court of Appeals, and that's what the Supreme Court didn't like about that one.
Yeah. They sent him back down because he was trying to get up there too quickly. Plus,
he was also suing a candidate, so he again had that problem.
Same situation. So we can't say that the Supreme Court has passed on this question yet, because the question is, what question? What question did it pass on? Okay, and we don't know in their mind what question they were looking at.
This case
we don't
is
know.
Unique
so,
for judicial ripeness, Mario, beginning, we've explained this before, because we filed the lawsuit after the political process was done, that is, the Congress illegally confirmed Obama because he wasn't a natural born citizen, and he hadn't been sworn in yet. So he was the officially confirmed president-elect, and that's when we sued. Nobody else has ever sued that. That's why they've had problems with political issue, because the political process wasn't done. They were just candidates. The Electoral College hasn't voted yet, whatever. So this lawsuit is the only one that's filed on the clock before he was sworn in, and after the Congress had done its job, even though they did it incorrectly and invalidly,
right.
And that's why Congress is a defendant on my lawsuit here because of that reason. And so, and Nancy Pelosi for election fraud. You know what I mean? She enabled all this stuff.
Yeah, but you read my mind. You read my mind, Charles. I was just about to bring that up. That in your lawsuit, you're suing the Congress, and it was filed before the inauguration. Those are key points.
Yeah, it's also important to understand that we filed also after he became president, because if you only sue him as a candidate or as a president-elect, he has no power at that point.
Mm-hmm.
He has no power. So how can he hurt you? Which is one of the things that the other cases suffer from. You know, a candidate has no power.
We amended our filing when they didn't stop the inauguration. The next day, what was it, a couple of days later, you amended it to name him as the de facto president.
Right, and that's very important because now he has power. And with that power, he can cause injury, which comes into the standing argument. Okay?
Do you have Dick Cheney mentioned in the lawsuit,
yes,
too?
He's named there because he conducted the vote counting illegally. He didn't follow the statutes for calling for objections.
Uh-huh.
He didn't call for objections after each vote.
Mm-hmm.
He did not call for objection. That's what you're saying?
After each state is given, the name is given, Alaska, Alabama, he's supposed to say, are there any objections to accepting, to confirming this state's electoral college vote? He's supposed to say, he's supposed to prompt the Congress.
Basically, all the several states are there, and if one state's votes are suspect, he's supposed to be asking the other 49, do you have any questions with Alaska's votes? He did not ask for objection for each and every state's votes, which is required by law. He didn't do it.
Wow.
They rushed it through. It was the shortest confirmation in decades.
Wow. Well, I have a caller here. Let me get him on. Hold on one second. Let's see. Yes, hi. You're on the air. You have a question for Charles and Mario?
Yes, I do.
Hi.
I wonder if they are aware of, I know they're aware of Lucas Smith, but are they aware of what he is calling his 535 project? Have they heard about that?
Have you heard about Lucas Smith and he claims that he got a birth certificate?
He mailed a copy by certified mail to every member of Congress. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Correct. He mailed a copy to every member of Congress, a certified letter, and every page was notarized.
What's your question to us about that?
Well, I just wondered if, I guess the question would be, do you think this is something that's real? Do you think it's worth pursuing? Do you think this is a good thing? Or you think it just clouds the
issue? We don't know
if
it's real until we can get in a court of law and have the power of the federal courts to have forensic experts look at that, just like with the Obama's documents. So we can't do anything on that until we get into a court of law with the power
until it's certified.
We do like the fact that he did that because it puts all 535 on notice that there's a question about Obama's birth location, and they can't say they didn't know about it. Now, they also know about it because of our lawsuit, but you know.
Well, you should read some of the replies, that they send to him or to anyone that asks about this, the senators.
Well, you should read the letters that I got back You should read the letters that I should have got back before I sued. None.
I
like to add that Lucas Smith birth certificate, the face of it, it surely has more weight than what we've seen from Obama. He put in the computer on a computer screen. There's no named hospital. There's no doctor. There's no corroborating information. Where the Lucas Smith, even though we don't know whether it's real or not, which is the same for Obama, at least that birth certificate had some information there that we can go and check. You know, so on the face of it, it's worth more than what Obama put out.
One more quick thing. Mr. Smith has a new website called WasObamaBornInKenya.com, and if you go there, he makes it very easy to access the letter he wrote and the birth certificate and all the other information.
We appreciate you mentioning Lucas Smith tonight, but we're here to talk about the case, so...
Okay, I want you to talk about that, too. I'm sorry.
I answered your question. The Kirchner versus
Obama. I didn't mean to send you off track. You did. Thank you.
No, it's no problem. All right, thanks a lot for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You got it. Later. Okay. So... Well, you know, and
by the way,
Mario,
I wanted to say, Mario was talking about where in the Constitution it mentions the law of the nation, Article 1, Section 8, under enumerated powers, on the power to punish pirates. It talks about that the offense is against the law of nations, and the law of nations is capitalized.
Right, which is not the book. That's Clause 10. Clause 10.
Right.
It's not the book. It's just the law of nations. Some people, they ridicule, they call us the birthers, and they say, oh, they're so ridiculous. They think that the Constitution talks about Battelle's book. But we never said it was the book. You know, we're talking about the Law of Nations, which is a body of law.
The most important codification of the Law of Nations at the time the Constitution was written by Battelle.
Well, okay, Mario, listen, I have a question for you that I know nobody has asked you yet, and that is, you have 5 minutes on the Glenn Beck Show. What do you do or say to prove your case and convince the public that you actually have a legitimate case here? What would you say? You had 5 minutes on the Glenn Beck Show.
Well, first of all, I would define natural born citizen, give some quick references to it as to where we find that definition. You know, there's founders, there's David Ramsey and all these different people, the cases. Then I would ask Mr. Beck, I would say, okay, now, what proof do we have that this definition is satisfied on the place of birth? We surely don't have conclusive proof on that. All we've seen is the Kolb on screen, which Hawaii has yet to confirm. We don't know what Hawaii is referring to, but regardless of what they're referring to, because of the conflicting information that's out there, we need more than that certification of live birth. We need some corroborating evidence. The gold standard is the 1961 contemporaneous birth certificate. I would challenge Glenn Beck. I would say, did you see it? Did anybody see it? Where is the birth certificate? Don't talk to me about a computer picture of a certification of live birth. So I would challenge him, say, you haven't seen the evidence. You don't know where he's born. So he fails on that, and he also fails on the connection to the parents because of, you know, we know it's not in dispute that his father was not a natural-born citizen.
And one thing Mario
always says, if
there's one thing his listeners should always learn, is that there's a difference between being a citizen of the United States and a natural-born citizen of the United States. So that would be a good thing to explain, too. Because all the times I think he's a citizen of the United States. Well, that's not the point. Is he a natural-born citizen of the United States?
Well, he's playing with words on purpose to fool his audience. I caught him one time do that. I mean, this is when I used to watch his show. I don't watch him anymore. This is a while ago. And he wrote, Obama is a U.S. citizen on his blackboard. And I pressed record so fast. It was like lightning. And I put it on YouTube, and I said, how dare you play games and with this topic and this issue by trying to fool your audience and saying that he's just a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
He's playing with words.
You've got to start with reading Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, where it says that uses the words citizen of the United States and natural-born citizen of the United States. And then I would ask Glenn Beck, Glenn, what's the difference? You see? And then go from there.
And there's got to be a difference, or else why did the founders put both there?
Right.
And it's not like some of the Obama supporters, they say, oh, well, citizen means that you could have been naturalized. No way, because the founders could have said that. They said citizen, which includes anybody that they consider to be a citizen, which included people who were born. Like William Smith, they had this debate with David Ramsey. William Smith, this is in 1789, he was born in the colonies, okay? And then the question was he a citizen? Because of, you know, the complexities of the revolution. But the point is this, that he was born in the colonies, he was considered a citizen, not a natural-born citizen. So you could be born here at that time and not be a natural-born citizen. So that's why, you know, it's important to understand that. And Charlie is absolutely correct. That is a big key. Because about the English common law and all these different cases and the 14th Amendment, that's all citizen. Okay, watch your mark, citizen, not natural-born citizen.
The next two questions I would then ask Gunbeck Socratically is, who put the natural-born citizen clause in there and why? When we talk about John Jay and George Washington, okay? And then and the third question I would say to them, where did they get it from? You see
the
argument? John Jay said they wants it in there as a strong check against foreign influence. Well, that means you don't want a president of the future who's born of a foreigner. Okay? And George Washington agreed and put it in there. He amended the clause that was there by Hamilton to add the terms natural born. Now, we know from reading it that there's two different kinds of citizens at the time of the Constitution. There were the citizens of the United States, and there were the natural-born citizens that were going to be defined by the children of the citizen. Then who put it there? Jay and Washington? Where did they get it from? Vattel. They used Vattel.
You know,
we have historical proof that they used Vattel, the law of nations.
Charles,
so that's how I would. That's what I would spend my 5 minutes on with Glenn Beck, but he won't invite me on. I've tried to get myself invited on there repeatedly, and Mario.
Yeah, well, you know, he loves to talk about the founding fathers, but for some reason, this doesn't make his blackboard, you know?
Well, you know why they won't put us on? You know why they won't put Mario and I on? Because we have an argument they cannot refute.
Oh, forget it.
They can't fool us. They can't bamboozle Mario. He can cite legal chapter and verse, and the both of us know our history and know our founders.
I have another caller here. Let's get this one in. Hold on. Yes, hi, you're on the air, 336.
Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
I just listened to the show. I wanted to, you know, pose this question, Mario and Charles. You know, I know that you guys are, you know, working with Washington Times, you know, trying to get some good media coverage on this and, you know, trying to fight the media blackout. I brought this question up before, you know, General Curry. I don't know if you know where his stance on this eligibility issue.
Yeah, he was on that TV radio show. What's it, Archer or Barber or
Solomon?
I've seen him on TV. Yes, he's a major general.
Yes, you know, I ran this by him, and you know, I hate to even say it, but you know, do we need a press conference of some of these upper military retired personnel to maybe bring attention to this issue that it's not a joke.
I think Major General Vallely is working on that right now. He's trying to put together a team of people, major military people, to back Lieutenant Colonel Lakin in his case. And that's a criminal case, and we 100% stand behind that, Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, too. Ours is a civil a case, which is challenging the fact that Obama is a usurper and he violated the Constitution, and the Congress helped him do it, and so did Nancy Pelosi and the other defendants. So we're going at it from the civil rights point of view. They violated my civil rights, lack of due process, unequal protection. They vetted, as an example, they vetted McCain, but they didn't vet Obama. That's unequal protection under the law, right? Those are all, if you look at my lawsuit that Mario put together, there's 12 counts in there. And in prayer for relief. The prayer for relief is we want the definition of natural-born citizen clearly defined by the Supreme Court as applied to the president, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, and in hand at the Congress, and together they decide how to deal with it.
So, Charles,
right.
You're claiming that because you're retired that this fraud could possibly call you
I
in.
I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I am filing this lawsuit to uphold that oath, but I also believe that I have an inalienable right given to me by God to defend my rights, my inalienable rights that were promised to me in the Declaration of Independence and enshrined in the Constitution of the United States, and Obama and Congress allowed him to do it, has trampled on that contract, that social contract, and violated my God-given inalienable rights for equal protection, due process, and enforcement of that contract, that social contract between we the people. We created the Congress. We created the country. We looked to natural law to do it because we had 13 independent sovereign states. You cannot unite 13 independent sovereign states using British common law or the law of any one of those states. So they look to international law, the law of nations, to unite 13 independent sovereign states into a new form of government, a federal constitutional republic. And I'm fighting to have that contract upheld and enforced because of my oath and because I believe that I have an inalienable right to do so under the 9th and 10th Amendment.
Let me add something, because you said something there about whether Commander Kirchner is doing this because he might get recalled and that sort of thing. You know, we've seen a lot of that, and that's not our argument. The court, they pointed to that. They did not even address my argument for standing, which is under the Fifth Amendment, you have inalienable rights to life, liberty, safety, security, tranquility, and property. If the president is not a legitimate president, you don't know who he is. Okay, the government is supposed to protect you. That includes the president. The president has enormous powers, both civil and military. Okay, if he's not a legitimate person, then he's not there to protect you. You can't trust him to protect you. You haven't given your consent for him to protect you. You can't give him your allegiance. So that's where the injury comes in, is that you don't have that protection.
That recall statement is in our lawsuit, but it's like the 13th point down the list. We had an extreme emergency right now, and the Russian army was marching across the Canadian border, and the Cuban army was coming up through Mexico from the south, and all men, like they did in Somalia when that chieftain was fighting emperor was fighting the Italians, all men between 12 and 75 show up with your spear, and I got mobilized. I don't know if Obama's legally eligible to give that order. Yes, I'd be in a position then like Lieutenant Colonel Aiken is. But that's like the 13th point down in the reason why I filed this lawsuit. It's not the primary reason. I have no fear of serving my country. I did it for 33 years.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. How many years? 33. Wow.
33 years, most of it reserve time, but, you know, everybody serves their country. And not everybody's charging up the hill with a machine gun nest with a bayonet on it. Somebody's got to get him the bullets.
You're more qualified to be president than Obama is.
Of course.
I was an engineering duty officer. I fixed ships. I fixed those Gatling guns that shoot down the missiles. And I worked on in the shipyard that repaired those. And I would have, involved in shipyard maintenance. And I was on active duty. I was on a submarine tender, playing cat and mouse in the North Atlantic with the Russians.
Hold on.
Yeah,
I have a good question for you. Listen, I say this all the time on my website, and I want your opinion because of your service. Okay, I believe the Joint Chiefs violated their oaths by allowing Obama to be sworn in. What's your opinion?
We have civilian control of the military. At that point, it was not there. It was. If anybody should have acted, the Supreme Court should have balked by not swearing them in. You know what I mean? There may come a time when the Joint Chiefs have to do something. I'm not calling for that. I want to solve this in the legal way by legally defining natural born citizen. It's never been defined as applied to the president in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. It's been talked about as dicta in many cases, and as Mario said earlier, that no other definition has ever been said to contradict Vattel for the words natural born citizen. But Obama is playing this game with his legal hundreds of lawyers, millions of dollars, and playing the chess game in the legal court system. And we're going to hopefully get to the Supreme Court and have them define it once and for all, okay, so first impressions, for the sake of the future of our country. If they don't, we don't have a constitution anymore. Because if you can ignore three words that are in the Constitution for who can be president, then you can start ignoring the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. You just ignore them.
Obama is
and nobody has standing. Nobody has standing to question it. That's atrocious.
Obama and his supporters are playing the citizen game. They're throwing that word around again. We've covered this already, but it's got to come home. It's got to hit home. Citizen, 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 citizen. Yeah, he might be a citizen if he was born in Hawaii, but he cannot be a natural-born citizen. Again, that can't be underestimated or understated, that distinction.
We may turn into a Honduras. If Obama keeps playing this chess game and won't leave office legally when the time is proven that he's not legally eligible to be there, we may be in a Honduras. That's why he was against the Honduras.
Excuse me, Mario. What about a quo warranto hearing? Did you ever mention that in any of your lawsuits? And could you please explain about a quo warranto to the audience?
Our initial filing, our initial complaint filed on January 20th, again, right before he took office, that has a count of quo warranto in it, okay? But now that's filed in conjunction with our other causes of action. It's not just a pure quo warranto, because if you're going to do a pure quo warranto, then you've got to have some kind of a clause, a statute that gives you jurisdiction. And the only place where there's a statute that gives you jurisdiction is in Washington, D.C. So if you've got a pure quo warranto action with nothing else, you got to be in Washington, D.C. Our case is not like that. We have other arguments for jurisdiction for the court. Like I mentioned the Fifth Amendment, for example. You heard Charlie mention the Ninth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, equal protection, okay, which is also the Fifth Amendment. So we have other grounds for jurisdiction, so we hook in quo warranto with it. Okay, it's
you
like
mean,
under the All Writs Act.
Call Mario the All Writs Act, right? The All Writs Act allows you to bring in quo warranto when you have other charges. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So we hooked it in. I have it there. It's there. Okay, so it's not that we don't have a quo warranto action. We do have one, but basically the quo warranto is just that you're saying that somebody who's in office doesn't have the title or the right to be there. Again, there's a problem using that pure quo warranto, that's the statute in D.C., because under case law, you got to show that you have an interest in the office, okay? Well, clearly, my clients don't have, they weren't running for president, okay? So, that doesn't apply because we're going strictly, also, we don't know whether that even applies to the president because it talks about officers. Okay, but the president might not be considered an officer of that type because he's a constitutional officer.
But once
he's actually a branch of government.
Once we get natural-born citizen defined, that quo warranto and there with Congress and there can be used in an angle. I'm just as a layman now talking to say, okay, we define natural-born citizen and it agrees with what Vattel. Now, Obama, you have to prove that you meet that, and he can't.
Yeah. Another thing too is that the Constitution tells you how the president is in and out. Congress doesn't make a statute changing the Constitution. Can't do that. The Constitution itself tells you what you do if the president is not legitimate. So you don't need
a Congress can't even amend the Constitution. They can only propose an amendment. The several states by three-quarters vote must approve the amendment of the Constitution. Congress can only propose an amendment. People think that Congress can amend. You could get the Congress cannot amend the Constitution by statute, or even a proposed amendment does not have the force of law. The states have to approve it by three-fourths majority vote.
Okay, well, we got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to cut it off. I just want to ask one more question, and this was a theory that I had, and I was curious of what you thought, Mario, about for Colonel Lake, and I know this is not your case, but the Whistleblowers Act, would that protect him, yes or no?
Well, the Whistleblower Act is a civil provision. It's not a defensive type thing in a criminal action. Basically, it's if you know of any type of wrongdoing, somebody's violating the law or public policy of some sort, and you have that information and you make it public, and then your employer retaliates against you. For you bringing that information forward, then you can file what is called a whistleblower action. Now, is he being retaliated against for coming forward? Well, not necessarily. I mean, yes and no. When it came to his rank or whether he's going to be promoted and that sort of thing, yes, it applies there. But in terms of whether or not he violated an order or, you know, the order for movement, that sort of thing, that's not really a whistleblower action type thing where you're, you know, your employment has to change. Either you got to be terminated or the terms and conditions of your employment has to change because you reported something. So I don't think that the whistleblower would help him in terms of, although he's a whistleblower in the sense that he's saying, look, you know, this person is not legitimate, but he's got to use it as a defensive tool in a court martial. So I don't think that it fits well.
He's standing up for his oath that he took to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. What the hell does that oath mean? So help you God, if they expect military officers to take that oath and then ignore it. Well, then they must think we're just a bunch of politicians down there, that the words don't mean anything. Military men are willing to risk their life for that oath and fight for that Constitution. We take the oath seriously. We take the so help you God on the end seriously. A bunch of whatever's down in Washington, D.C., they obviously don't. And the people are going to throw a whole bunch of them out here in November. You wait and you watch.
God bless. You guys, let me tell you, I try to catch as many of the interviews that you guys do. That's why I was pretty, you know, I put this together a few weeks ago, actually, because I wanted to be prepared for this, because you guys are on your game, and, you know, people need to know, you know, the nuts and bolts of what really this is all about. So, Commander Charles Kirchner, Mario Puzo, I appreciate you coming on. The website is protectourliberty.org, and Puzo, the number one, blog.blogspot.com. I have the websites on the
Can I just say something, Steve? One quick on the website,
sure.
www.protectourliberty.org. We are trying to raise $4,000 for the Supreme Court printing costs. It's $3,500 just to print the little booklets that the Supreme Court wants, special printing and other costs. We're trying to raise $4,000. We have $2,500 raised. We need to raise that money. I will pay for it all myself if I have to, but I'm fighting for all of America. All of America needs to stand up and help, and they can help by giving $10 or $20 now to help pay for these really high costs of taking this case to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Mario's working pro bono. Mario's working pro bono, but we got to pay for these out-of-pocket costs.
It adds up. It's not cheap. And people, please, like you said, you know, chip in now, especially, you know, we have the holidays coming up. Well, you have a couple extra bucks. You know, please go to protectourliberty.org.
$5, $10, $20, whatever you can spare.
I agree. I mean, you know, it adds up. And that's how, you know what, that's how they prevent or protect themselves from lawsuits, because people just can't afford to fight. And, you know, we have to chip in.
If we don't get this guy out of office, they're not going to have a country, let alone a paycheck.
That's it, and we're running out of time. I mean, we're, you know,
running
really.
Out of time.
I mean, yep. All right, guys, thank you so much. God bless you, and I'll keep in
touch.
Thank
you for having me on.
Thank you,
Steve.
And, wait, you got it, bro. Wait, one more thing. When is the next hearing?
The petition for the writ is due September 30th, on or before September 30th, petition for writ of certiorari. Then we have to wait to see whether they accept the petition, in other words, whether they grant cert. If they grant it, then they're going to issue a briefing schedule. You got to send your brief in. Then once the briefing schedule is done, then at some point we have to see when they're going to give an oral argument. So we don't really know, you know, we really don't know. But September 30th is the next date.
Well, everybody who believes in God out there, start praying that they take this case. We have the best argued, best laid case out there. If they don't take this case, our Constitution is history.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. God bless. I'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And your listeners. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye, Commander.
Yep. And there they are. Boy, let me tell you, Commander Kirchner and Mario Puzo, these guys are on their game. They really, I mean, you know, and Commander Kirchner is kind of like a lawyer, because he's really more and more every day he's on this. And I'm telling you, him and Mario, if they went on any, forget about Beck, okay, if they went on any talk show, they would mop up the floor with anyone in this with this Obama eligibility issue. That's why you're not seeing them on CNN and MSNBC softballing the head, you know, and the other dopes. That forget about Oldman. He's just mentally ill, that guy. But listen, and you know what? I want to talk. We got 5 minutes left. You know what? It's very important. You know, I've been getting emails from people, you know, liberals. And listen to this. Liberals are actually converting. And they're not converting from the Tea Party. They're not converting from Glenn Beck. They're converting when they saw this Ground Zero mosque was going to be built. And it was like a smack right in the face. And, you know, I'm serious. The past few days I've been getting emails from people saying I was left, you know, believe me, I don't agree with anything on your website, but let me tell you, this whole mosque situation totally woke me up. I am totally backing, you know, you and anyone else that is against this. So it goes to show you that only the radical left lunatics are back in that Ground Zero mosque. And the average, like a moderate Democrat or, you know, somebody with half a brain is saying, hey, wait a second, these people are at war with us. And, you know, so you know what, also, because I see a lot of people, and even I thought about it too, and I mentioned it on the Conservative Monster, that, oh, you know what, let's not get too distracted with this because we're forgetting about, you know, Obama and the health care, what he did, and Pelosi, and, you know, we believe me, people are focused. They know about that. They didn't forget about it. You know, and they definitely are using this Ground Zero mosque to distract us and even provoke us. But, you know, it has actually brought people to our side. You know, I have gotten some emails about this, and I was even surprised. So, but listen, so this is Steve Cooper, the Conservative Monster, and I am from Miami. You know, I'm in Miami for the next few days, and I will be posting about the Taking America Back conference with Joseph Farah, Michael Savage, Michelle Bachman, Tom Tancredo, Jerome Corsi, just so many people are going to be here. I can't wait. Tomorrow's the big day. It starts. And I'm going to be busy, so I don't know how much I'll be on the Monster, but I'll try and post here and there a little bit. And but that's it. I want to thank my guests for coming on tonight, Charles Kirchner, protectourliberty.org. You heard what he said. They need another $1,500. That's nothing. You know, if everyone chipped in $5, $10, we can get that $1,500. That's, you know, it's a shame. Look at this. The most important issue in the country, and we're scraping up, you know, dollars. It's very scary. It's very scary. I don't know what to say. But, all right, people, this is Steve Cooper from Miami, and I will be in touch with everyone and keep you posted about the Taking America Back conference. Thanks for listening to the show tonight.
Something wrong with the world today, I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge. We'll be right back.
Don't be frightened. Be informed. It's Steve Cooper, the conservative monster.